Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the On Point Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Greg Locke, and today we're going to talk about three things we know very well around here: faith, family, and politics. But today's going to be just a wee bit different, my friends, because we're going to put a little bit of the prophetic in our discussion today. I have no idea why I have not had this gentleman on the podcast before, but one of my dearest friends and one of the greatest prayer warriors and preachers that I know anything about is a dear man that I have known since my Independent Baptist days, and that is Dr. Malachi O'Brien. Malachi, welcome to On Point with Pastor Greg Locke today.
Pastor Locke, thank you. I'm fired up to be on your podcast. This is great. Let's do this.
You are always fired up, my friend, and you never disappoint. Let me tell you something about Malachi, ladies and gentlemen. He is the Velcro of Christianity. I have never met someone that has the spiritual gift of networking like Malachi O'Brien. I mean, this guy has networked me to many, many people. And the reason I have him on the broadcast is because last night I was reminded of his spiritual gift. He called me and he's like, look, revival has broken out about 15 miles away from you guys, and we're for any church that preaches Jesus and where revival's breaking out, and people were getting baptized literally by the hundreds at Long Hollow Baptist Church. Pastor Robbie and Malachi got me in a text feed and said, you need to show up. They're going to have an impromptu service. Now listen, when a big Baptist church has an impromptu service, you know the Holy Spirit has showed up and shown out. And so Malachi said, you need to get over there. And so I went last night and we literally watched 179 people get baptized. It was absolutely stupendous. I mean, it was beautiful. And I called Malachi today and I'm like, wow, you need to be on the show, because you know what? We are never going to reclaim this nation politically, but we can reclaim it prophetically. And this guy knows more about prophecy and about being a prayer warrior than anybody I know. So I'm going to volley over to you, Malachi, and I want you to just kind of tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and then what you kind of see as the spiritual climate and landscape that's happening right now in these United States.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Pastor Locke. Again, I'm so glad you went last night to Long Hollow, because God was breaking out, is breaking out. But I'd also say, because you and I have talked, God is doing an incredible, phenomenal work there at Global Vision.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys aren't even back in your building yet. You're still under a tent. So I just think, and I'm hearing stories of God doing supernatural things across the country. So I know your listeners, they're hungry for God. They're hungry for God to move in America.
Yes.
And their families and their churches. So they'd be encouraged to know that I know of a church right now in Houston, Texas, a friend of mine, that they have been doing some all-night prayer meetings, Tuesday-night prayer meetings, and like 50, 60, 70% of the church, which is a good sized church,
wow,
is showing up to pray. And they got people like begging them, let's do another all night prayer meeting. I know of another pastor friend that 5 weeks ago started a Tuesday night prayer meeting, large Southern Baptist church in Austin, Texas, and God's showing up there. So here's what I do know, Pastor Greg. God is ready to show up and show off. He's just looking for people that are willing to just say, take a step back and go, okay, God, it's yours. Holy Spirit wants his church back, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm.
Holy Spirit wants his church back. So, you know, Pastor Greg, I would say, since you asked me a little bit about me, I am just honored to be your friend and carry your briefcase wherever I can, and to connect you with people that are friends of mine. I've done a lot of things. But if people want to know who is Malachi O'Brien, they'd have to know that my primary calling and vocation from the Lord, more than politics, and I love politics,
yeah,
and absolutely, more than social media, and I love social media, that's part of my life, is God called me to a life of night and day prayer and fasting, for sure, for permanent, for life. So I tell people, I'm not really a pastor. I'm an intercessor, a revivalist, and a voice. And however that, I let the chips fall where it does in that. So that's who I am. And honestly, I'm glad we're having this conversation today, because I really do believe that God is setting the stage for one of the greatest revivals we've ever seen in history. Because God doesn't do great things and then lesser things and then small things and then minuscule things. He does greater things and then greater than great things.
Yeah.
And so I'm ready to just be a part of revival history.
Well, amen. You know, I tell our folks, I'm not really praying for another great awakening. I'm praying for the greater awakening, because I believe it's here. And I believe we are starting to see the outcroppings and just the groundswell of a massive move of the Holy Spirit. And I think what our listeners need to understand about guys like you and guys like me, we did not have this as learned behavior. This is something that we were taught against, to be honest with you. I mean, we were taught you put God in a box. It has to be done this way. You sing out of a red back hymnal, not off the screens. The pastor can't wear blue jeans. You know, you can't go to movies. You know, we were raised around that. And although I don't demonize my past because they gave me a love for expository preaching, at the end of the day, I don't want to go back to that, because what I'm learning now in my church is what the Holy Spirit is downloading into me, into our congregation. It's not something I learned in seminary, and you have a very similar story because we came out of the same ranks. I mean, you made our first gospel track for us almost 15 years ago when I founded Global Vision, what was then Baptist Church, now Bible Church. And so for you and I to watch the Lord work, to be what we would call Baptistic, but spirit-filled, and to kind of walk and move and operate in the prophetic, it sounds so weird for me to even say that on the broadcast. But I told our folks, I have been taught to explain things away in the Bible that are clear. Jesus said that he had the indwelling of the Father, which gave him great power, but we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he said we could do greater works. Doesn't make us greater than Jesus, but, you know, we've laid down the idea that, you know, God's dead, or he doesn't do miracles, no signs, no one. That's crazy. I'm watching God do things that I used to preach against. Tell us a little bit about your journey and what you're seeing in the whole prophetic. I think it'd be beautiful for our listeners to hear this.
Oh, well, I mean, again, you were right on point. No pun intended. Yeah. I would say, you know, we were always taught, you know, Pastor Greg, especially in our independent Baptist background, mm-hmm. like, man, I'm grateful for the heritage.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also know this, that we were always taught, it was kind of like Father, Son, Holy Bible, and that was the Trinity. And I've just kind of go, no, I think it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. and so I believe that there's a hunger in every one of your listeners right now. They're listening, and there's something within them that's clicking, going, there's got to be more to God than what I'm seeing on Sunday morning. And yes, I believe there's a generation that's longing for, honestly, 24/7 church. And I'll get to kind of 24/7 prayer in a second, because I do want to hit on that. Yes. But I would say, I believe that we are in the nations right now. We're in a Psalms 2 moment. Mm. Why do the nations rage against God's anointed, his son, Jesus? We're in a Psalms 2 moment. And a Psalms 2 moment means we must have a Joel 2 response. So even for the sake of our nation, there has to be weeping and mourning and sackcloth and ashes. Those of us that are leaders, spiritual leaders, or anybody who's listening, there needs to be a brokenness about us, about the condition of our nation, and then honestly, condition of our cities, and honestly, the condition about our churches and our families, but maybe more honestly, the condition of our own souls. We have gotten content to be barren and bored spiritually, we've learned to be okay with synthetic glory, stuff that we can produce and not the real thing. So Psalms 2, Joel 2, and if we get this right, we'll have an Acts 2 outpouring.
Amen.
Psalms 2, Joel 2, Acts 2. And that's what we've got to have. And I really believe what the Lord is giving to his church in this hour. There's a friend of mine at the Upper Room in Dallas, Corey Russell, just put out a pretty phenomenal track on this. And I will agree with him on this. And this may make some people nervous. I believe three things the Lord is giving to the church in this hour is tears, tongues, and travail.
Right.
Tongues, and travail. And I believe the prophetic. What is the prophetic? People go, is that telling the future? Kind of. I would say the prophetic in the New Testament is a gift for the church to encourage one another in the journey. And the prophetic is the strong medicine that the church must have in this hour if we're going to be cured of the cancer and the rust of the apathy, complacency, the lethargy. The only thing that's going to fix it is strong prophetic preaching and prophetic singing and prophetic praying and prophetic teaching and prophetic leading. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ has to have in this moment. So that's where we are. And I would just add to all of that. My journey is, I would say I came to Christ in an independent Baptist church, to which I'm grateful, the bus ministry.
Yeah.
And you and I met when I was in an independent Baptist college, but the Lord, I always knew there was more.
Yes.
And the Lord led me into the Southern Baptist Convention, another story for another day. But then the Lord took me full circle into the charismatic movement. And I just say, it's all about Jesus. I'm a friend of anybody that loves Jesus.
Amen.
And honestly,
yes, sir.
The Lord, here's the Lord's doing, and I'll throw it back to you. we live in a, if I believe the Bible, and I do, every single word, if the Lord said in the latter days, and everybody would say, oh, we must be in the last days, then if you believe that, then we've got to believe in the latter days, God said he'd pour out his spirit.
Yes, sir.
Upon all flesh, and there would be dreams and visions, signs and wonders, and prophecy. And so I'm okay with, you know, that might be a little little subjective and a little bit, yeah. I don't know about that. I'm okay. I don't care anymore. I want God.
Yes.
And so I've been marked with an addiction to God's presence, and no one's going to take that from me. I'm a full-fledged addict. And I refuse to go into rehab. I want God's presence more than I want anything else. That's where I'm at.
Amen, my brother. Amen.
What do you say to people who are skeptical?
Well, I would say I understand people being skeptics. I get it. I mean, and usually to understand their skepticism, it usually you have to kind of unpack their journey, their yeah. story, because most people are products of the churches they got saved in.
Absolutely.
And or they got influenced in. And that really, that's like the pair of glasses they're wearing everywhere. And it influences the way they see everything.
Mm. Right.
And then I've also learned that some people are wired to be just deep, heavy thinkers. Some people are wired to be deep, heavy pragmatists. Let's get to work. Let's get it done. Let's do this. Go there. Do that. And so that's you kind of got head. You got hands. And then some people, and this is where a lot of your charismatics land. They're really moved by their feelings, their emotions, the heart. And I'm not saying one is better than the other, but we're too quick to discount one of those three. And I think people are just wired uniquely a little different, and we got to learn to go. It's okay. That to understand people are wired that way. I had a conversation with the founder of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City several years back. I live 20 minutes from there. I love IHOP KC. Mm-hmm. Again, another conversation for another day. But I would say this, that what Mike said was when you begin to move in the prophetic and the signs and the wonders and miraculous, he said, you got to be willing to be embarrassed a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to be willing to know that you can't control everything. And he said, then there's certain things you can do to what's on stage, what's not on stage. But if you want God to move supernaturally, you got to be willing to allow that. Dr. Wow. Sam Storms wrote a great book called Practicing the Power. Mm-hmm. And he's a PhD guy, touched by the Spirit and the Jesus movement, teacher at Wheaton. He's on the board of Desiring God. He talks about churches can operate in the prophetic and in healing ministry and multiple things. But he talks about, we just got to grow into that. We give people the ability to grow in preaching. We give people the time to grow in leading, right. But we don't give people necessarily the time to grow in the gifts of the Spirit. Mm. And we got to be willing to do that.
Right.
And so that's to the skeptic, I would just say simply this, the Word of God's our final authority. And because the Word of God is our final authority, then I have to believe what it says. I don't get the option to go, well, let me explain that away. I don't need to do that. And we don't need to do that. And I've seen the miraculous. We had a boy in our church fall out of a treehouse 2 years ago, an 18-inch metal meat skewer went through his skull, severed his jugular vein.
I saw the picture.
He saw Jesus at the foot of his bed before he went into surgery, and he knew he'd be okay. He walked out of the hospital 4 days later. The doctor said it was a one in a million miracle. And then I would say to the churches that, you know, there is fakeness out there.
Absolutely.
It's everywhere.
Right.
But because it's fake, doesn't mean I want to get past the fake to experience the real, because I know there's real out there. But what worries me is not, I'll use the phrase that John MacArthur used in the book he wrote, Strange Fire. I would rather have, some fire and work through the strange fire rather than have no fire.
Yeah. Right. I was social media director for God TV, so I had to cover a lot of these events with Todd White, Benny Hinn, and the such. And so I saw some of the tricks of the trade behind where they called it faith activation, and, you know, just to get them to start believing. And so it kind of left me jaded. And it's not that I don't want to believe, because I do want to believe, and I have seen God move. One word from God changed my life. I've been sober for 11 years. I mean, I was a hopeless drug addict in the streets, and he spoke to me in a jail cell, and I've been delivered. So I know it's real, but I got so surrounded by so much fake that it kind of pushed me back and made me that deep pragmatic. And so I loved your keen insight on that, and I'm growing.
There's so much inauthenticity in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We just had that. There was just that news story about 3 weeks ago about Carl Lentz. there in New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
About and just the celebrity Christian.
Yep.
So, I mean, there is a lot of things facing the church, from celebrityism, which the Lord wants that to die, so consecrated yeah. Christianity can rise.
Amen.
And there, and even in your strongest, your Bible churches that are so far one way in the pendulum, there can be people that are just as inauthentic there as there are on stages. And I'll be honest with you, I really think the greatest signs and wonders happen sometimes in smaller settings, not necessarily on a platform.
Sure.
Sometimes than I do just in a service on a Sunday morning. And I just believe that encounter meets expectation.
Mm.
So I would rather believe God can do it than just try to and never believe it. So that's where I am. And again, there could be awkwardness and sure. there could be fakeness, but I am okay because I want God so badly and I'm so desperate for him that I'm willing to let God rewire me and teach me. And then I have the Holy Spirit inside me. If I'm somewhere and it's fake, I want the Holy Spirit to say, that's not real.
Yeah.
And go, thank you, Holy Spirit. That's where I am. And I know the people listening to this right now, they're probably in different stages of their journey, but I would want to say this to them. Holy Spirit wants his church back. He's a Amen. Better leader than any one of us.
Yes.
And we need to surrender in fullness to him and watch out because the Holy Spirit can do more through us than we could possibly fathom. And I believe that might be dreams, visions, miracles. It honestly just might be the ability to, in full obedience, go share Christ with that person or yeah. ask someone to forgive us or to stand up and repent of our sin publicly and God to break in. So, I'm a revival historian yeah. In a sense. I'm addicted to the stories. It makes me hungry again. America was forged in the fires of revival.
Yes, sir.
And in the preaching of revival, preaching from Jonathan Edwards to George Whitefield to and throughout our history, revival has been a key part of American history.
Absolutely. And there's no America without those guys. The George Whitefields, like you said, and the John Wesleys and the Edwards. I mean, these guys thundered out the truth of God's word and saw miracles and signs and wonders and things that were a little bit eccentric. And that's why they get kicked out of the churches and they preach in cemeteries and in the woods to hundreds of thousands of people, because people are hungry. One of the things you said a few moments ago is you said you really have to, on your own, grow into this. I think that's beautiful. And that's really what's happened to me. I mean, you know, January 17th, we got Sean Foyt coming to, you know, lead worship and give his testimony. And so I'm like all in the boat at this point. You know, if there was ever any wonder if Greg Locke is all in, he is all stinking in at this particular point. And so it's just beautiful. And I really want to get you to our church. I know we've talked about that. I want you to come talk about revival and fasting and prayer and maybe even lead one of those, you know, overnight prayer meetings. I just think it's fascinating what the Lord has done in your life and the gift that he has given you to be able to speak to so many different people across the spectrum denominationally. I mean, you're in so many places. And I remember watching you morph into that and grow into that. And I was intrigued because I was still a little bit in the whole bondage of the denominational hierarchy. And I know we had our conversations, but once things started opening up Facebook and, you know, as social media world and then the whole White House situation and politics, I just began to see a whole different genre. You remember they used to say things like this, well, you know, those people don't love Jesus like we do. And so what happened is I started going to those churches and I found out they were right. They love Jesus more than I did. And I was missing something, you know? And I was like, wow, man, these people are on fire.
Did you ever get it? Did you and Malachi ever have like a disagreement? Like, well, I don't know. Did you ever try to back them down on some things or did that ever happen at all?
That's a great question. Greg, you'd have to speak to that. I don't think so. Greg, I remember when you and I were in New York City. And I don't think we had disagreement. We were just blown away being together at the Brooklyn Tabernacle
yep.
with Cymbala, you know. I don't think we disagreed.
Yeah.
We have not really, because I think there is a camaraderie of spirit. We've just known there's been synergy there.
Right.
I'm sure if we want to get through the weeds, we might disagree on, you know, what's harder, bicycling 10,000 miles or running 100 miles. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
basically,
Greg's passion, my passion.
What I meant was, like, as you were coming along, you were kind of the forerunner of moving towards the charismatic giftings of the Spirit and the whole lot. Was there a time when Greg, when you were like, I don't know, and you kind of pushed back a little bit because he was a little bit advanced on that on that subject?
Maybe not. I just kind of followed him, just kind of watched this whole metamorphosis. You know, I figure if you're hungry enough, you'll eat what gets put before you. And so like when we went to, you know, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, I was blown away. You know, my wife was there and I was like, these people, man, they're like worshiping the Lord. It was like being around the throne room. And so we came back and it changed our whole prayer meeting. It lit our church on fire. I'm convinced that what we do now in our prayer meeting is the, you know, the whole catalyst to what's happening under that tent on Sundays. And so it's just been, it's been fascinating. This past weekend, Malachi preached on Mark 9:29. This kind cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. And that is such an overlooked principle of Christianity. And I believe we absolutely, positively reject ourselves, and we really minimize the spirituality and the impact that we could have, the authority that we could walk in if we understood. And so here's what I want to do. We could have an entire discussion on what I'm about to ask you. And I want you to come sometime and even have a discussion to our people, because I'm getting ready to lead a big fast at our church. And I know Jensen does that and a whole lot of the people. And Robbie last night said he's going to be doing that. But just for a couple of moments, I want you to take the dauntingness. I want you to take the scariness and the uneasiness out of fasting for us. Would you just unpackage that for a minute? Because you really do have a spiritual gift at this particular level that a lot of people have never reached, and that I'm really working on and I'm really trying to move into. Kind of unpackage fasting idea for us just for a moment and the power of it.
Awesome. Thanks for setting that up, because I mean, honestly, I was even just working earlier today on what's about to be released as the, and whenever your listeners hear this, it'll either be before or after the Roaring 20s 2021 fast. Every January throughout this next decade, we're going to begin by calling an entire month, a tithe of the year, to prayer and fasting. So, but why fasting? Well, 10 years ago, for me, I got to tell, to unpack it, I got to tell my story. 10 years ago, I was in seminary, and I was tired of knowing about God, but not knowing God. Knowing about God, but not knowing God. And I remember watching a video in a class of when revival came to Cross Church, Pastor Ronnie Floyd's church.
Yes.
There in Northwest Arkansas. And I remember it was Ronnie was in his late 30s preaching a sermon at his church after he had just finished a 40-day fast. And the Spirit of God showed up in such a marvelous way. Their church experienced revival. And it was also, that was in a period of the mid-1990s when you had revival breakout in Brownwood, Texas, and it kind of moved on college campuses. It was a word-centered revival. And then you also had it Brownsville, Florida. Again, that was more of an experience-centered revival. But in 95, Bill Bright called for 40 days of prayer and fasting across the nation, and God moved miraculously. And only if I had more time, I'd tell you all the things God did in that moment. But for me, I watched that video and said, okay, God, either I have to know that you're alive and that you do miracles and you revive, or I'm out. I'm out of it. I'm out. And so I just said, okay, God. So I told my wife that I was going to do a 40-day fast, and she said no. And so I said, no, honey, I really believe God wants me to do this. And I said, he wants me to start tomorrow.
Wow.
And so I literally, the very next, I was desperate. Fasting has to be fueled by desperation.
Yes.
Not beautiful. By determination.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Not by determination, but by desperation. To where, and Paul Washer talks about this, we have to get to a point with where things are around us and honestly within us, to where food and anything that we choose to fast almost becomes immoral to us. Like, how dare I even go to that when there's something more critical at play here? To where honestly, I couldn't stand. And so I was at a point personally, I was just tired of being a fake, a phony, living off the fumes of things. And I said, I have to know, God, you're real. I started a 40-day fast in January, or beginning of the year, basically, of 2010.
Wow.
It changed my life forever. That's how I became friends with Ronnie Floyd.
Yeah.
Every January since then, we've done some sort of fast personally, and now we're asking others to join in. But fasting, the principles of fast, anyone can fast. Fasting is actually, this is crazy. we're saying no, we're just simply not eating. I mean, in basic, we're not putting food in our mouth in order to spend more time with God. And then, so prayer is telling God what God tells us to tell him. And fasting is just not simply putting food in our mouth. And God rules the nations by those two things. Yeah. The history of the world is prayer and fasting. So desperation over determination. And then anyone can fast.
Fasting terrifies me, man. I do it. I came out of Islam. So we did Ramadan every year, and we did fasting, but it was just don't eat from sun up, don't drink from sun up till sundown. So we always look forward to Ramadans during the winter because it was the shortest time of sun up, sun down. But how did you fast for 40 days? That's incredible.
So that fast for me was a liquid only fast.
Mm-hmm.
There are many types of fasting. I really think that even in the scriptures, there are several types of fasting. The Daniel fast, no sweets or meats, but just basically almost like soups and salads,
right.
Not very super pleasant food. There is a kind of an Esther fast, which is kind of like no food, no water, which nobody should do that more than 3 days
right.
if they do it. And only Jesus and Moses did an absolute fast. They did like for no food or water for 40 days. don't do that. I don't do that. Please. Do not do that fast. but Catholics have done for years what they call a Benedict fast, which is one meal a day. So there's many different ways to fast. But for me in 2010, it was no food. I drank just pure juices and water for 40 days. And honestly, the first 3 days, good night.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yep.
Like, because you're irritable.
Yep, yep.
You've got caffeine withdrawals. And so I still drink coffee or something during my fasting
yeah,
now.
Because sure.
I would say the first 3 days are hard, but you're basically telling your body that who's in charge. Your spirit is
wow.
in charge of your body, not your body's in charge. And here's the deal. We only have, and John Piper talks about this, we're holistic people, spirit and body.
Yes.
So you can be so full physically that you have no spiritual hunger.
Absolutely.
You can gorge yourself on food to where you have no spiritual appetite. And so the problem is that we're not hungry enough.
Yeah.
We've gotten too full on the crumbs of the world and we've never learned what it means to feast on God. There's a level of the spirit of God
yes.
that you will only get when you learn to live a fasted lifestyle. And that is to say no, to say yes. So honestly, if you get past the first 3 days, you will feel a clarity of mind and a clarity of body that you've never felt before. And it's not by willpower. It's not like, get up in the morning, look in the mirror, beat your chest. No, because day two, someone's going to invite you to lunch. And you're like, oh, but maybe God wants me to, maybe we start to barter with God.
Yeah.
I would say the way I did my fast was I told a few friends what I believe God was calling me to and said, I just want you to know this. God's called me to this.
Mm.
I love this fact. Lou Engle, who's known for fasting, says yep. he has started more fast than he's ever finished, which is very encouraging. But mm-hmm. I would say you get past day three. Every time I fast, I keep a journal. I write down every day just what I believe the Lord is saying. And I read old books on prayer, Ravenhill,
yes.
Tozer, Ian Bounds,
yes.
and I watch sermons on or sermon clips on fasting. I kind of fuel the fast with that kind of content in my soul. It keeps me motivated. And I've told enough friends that if I break it, they will say, but didn't God tell you? Well, yeah, but no. So I accountability comes by telling a few people.
Absolutely.
And no one's going to die by fasting for 3 days, a week, 21 days. That's not going to happen. You're not going to die. I'm not a doctor, so please go consult
yeah.
a physician. A disclaimer on this podcast, don't sue us. But
yeah.
I believe the body of Christ needs to come back to the ancient path of prayer and fasting, saying no to say yes. And I'm telling you, anything God has done with me, Greg, and I mean this in all sincerity, and hopefully it comes across in all humility. Everything,
yeah.
every single thing I can link back to Jesus of prayer and fasting.
Yes.
Everything.
Wow.
Everything.
Every bit of
yeah.
it. Man, that's powerful. You know, if our folks would get a hold of the fact, especially the preachers and the leaders in churches, if they would get a hold of what you're saying, if they would rise up the way that you're telling us to rise up, the Holy Spirit would get his church back. There is no doubt about that. It is time for a great renewal of spirit. Well, listen, one of the things I want to be able to do, I don't always get to do this because normally we have like famous politicians on the show, but now we got like an amazing prayer warrior, faster type man. So you're going to pray our broadcast out today. And we don't get to do that every time. So that's going to be cool for the On Point show. So Dr. Malachi O'Brien, man, I love you. I appreciate your friendship. And I know we'll be hooking up in January. I don't know. We'll probably be in DC together. It's crazy where we hook up. We'll be like on Mars or the moon. It's amazing where God opens doors and me and this cat find each other. But Malachi, I want you to pray for our listeners as we get ready to close out and pray for our nation, if you would, sir.
Yes. Let's just pray now. So Father God, right now, we are in agreement, Lord. We are in agreement together. Everybody who's listening now, those that are listening months from now, even maybe years now, we are in agreement that God, you want to do so much more, so much more. Lord, we believe there are things you only do in response to prayer and fasting. Lord, to Daniel, you said, I came because of your words, your words. So Lord Jesus, I am praying for every listener of this broadcast that you would strengthen them by your spirit with might in their innermost being. And I pray, Lord, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, you would raise up a revival generation from LA to New York City to Dallas to middle of nowhere, North Dakota. You'd raise up a remnant, a church within the church that says, having done all, we will stand in the power of the spirit. And Lord, I pray that what you're about to do in 2021 and beyond would make the Jesus movement look small, the second great awakening look small, the first great awakening look small, because you're the God of heaven and earth that can do so much more. So I pray for Pastor Locke and the team. I pray for this podcast. You take it further and farther. And I pray most importantly for the listener, God, that they would be, Lord, ferociously starving for the more of the spirit and the more of God in their life. And we would begin to hear stories come in of what you're doing because they decide to say yes to you in this area of their life. Lord, send revival and let it begin in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe that and receive that, brother. Woo, that fires me. I'm ready to go down to the tent and preach, brother. That is awesome. Well, thanks, Malachi, for being on the podcast. But most of all, thanks for being my friend. And I love you. And I'll talk to you real soon, brother.
Sounds like your plan. Thank you so much. Honored to be with you. Thanks.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Bye bye.
Yeah, that was great.
Might want to turn your mic on there, brother.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, you're so amazing. You're so in the zone about that fasting. You can't even turn your mic on. You're like freaked out.
I'm telling you, I'm like, it was incredible. Yeah. I was like,
I love
40 days.
Yeah.
40 days. I mean, yeah, you can fast like Moses and Jesus, but you'll find yourself in the presence of Jesus if you do that, right?
Yeah, I'd be physically on the, get some smoothies and stuff, but hey, liquid fast, go for it.
That is so incredible.
We're about to call one in the church and see what happens, so it's going to be beautiful.
I'm definitely down. I'm going to be holding your hand the whole way, be like, Daddy, please help, because I'm serious. There's no way. I mean, I'm terrified of fasting.
Yeah.
I literally am. I can give up a meal.
I think I'm going to do a special service that's an alternate service just to teach on the principles of fasting because I'm not expecting everybody to do it.
Oh, well, dude, you know, I did the Daniel fast. I was doing it for, matter of fact, let me just tell you this. Last night was the first night I broke my Daniel fast.
Oh, brother.
I had some sea bass.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Well, I can promise you it wasn't worth breaking it for that, but whatever.
Oh, come on.
I'm not a fishy dude.
I'm not a fishy dude, but it was actually delicious. And so I had two bites, and but no, I'm looking forward to listening to your teachings, learning what you have to teach to impart to us.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely down for something new. I definitely want more of the Spirit of the Lord because, amen, you know, that unlocks everything.
Yep.
And it puts your heart where it's supposed to be.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting that this is the longest podcast that we've ever done on the On Point Show, but I think it's going to be worth it. And I think folks are going to love it and they're going to eat it up. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the On Point podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Greg Locke. Sorry you had to listen to Brian Lane, my co-host, but hey, he's a good one as well. We love you guys and we'll be back real soon to talk about faith, family, and politics. Our next guest, you are not going to want to miss. You say, who is it? I'll tell you when I see you next time. God bless you.